Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I've been talking to you about an apostolic believer. Started last night. And endeavored. And I believe was successful in letting us see a demonstration of the power of God in a very outstanding way. Praise the Lord. Thank God for everyone that was healed last night. There's been several healed right here, right this moment. There's been a number of folks instantly healed by the power of God. One sister came and said her neck was stiff. She couldn't move her head. In pain down her back. Been with her for a long time. Instantly healed. Just 2 or 3 minutes ago. Instantly healed right here. And there was others. Praise God. I did not know about Sister Young's problem. But the Holy Ghost quickened to me to tell Brother Young that not to be fretting or worrying about his wife, that his wife was going to be all right, that she was in the care of the Lord, and that the Lord was going to give your wife peace. And he said, would you please tell my wife that? Not knowing what they've been going through. And I understand that she's been to a doctor and there's a lump in her throat. And the doctor said it's caused from anxiety. But just a moment ago, that lump disappeared from her throat as peace came into her heart. This is a work of the Spirit. I said, this is a work of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And the Lord wants us to do these things. We're going to be more and more apostolic as we near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am persuaded that the church that will be in existence and operating at the coming of the Lord will be more apostolic than the church was in the Acts of the Apostles. The Scripture says that the early rain shall be moderate. Moderate compared to what? Compared to the latter rain. And it's going to happen while you and I are here, because we're near to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love preaching. I love to preach. I particularly love to teach. That's what I do most of, is teaching. When I go to Thailand and have so many, or some of these places, and have so many receive the Holy Ghost, I give Bible studies. I take a book of the Bible and just go through it, verse at a time, extemporaneous. That's right. Give Bible studies. And I expect people to get the Holy Ghost. Just recently was in Manila and gave Bible studies. And it was just to the preachers at first. There was over 500 preachers in the seminar, and we talked and spoke to the preachers during the day and at night, and then we took a rest day on Sunday, and then they invited all the saints to come together in the Manila churches, and over 6,000 saints gathered together in one single building, and I gave another Bible study. I believe in the Word. I believe in the Word. There was over 500 people in that service testified to instantaneous healing. That's right. I have it on video. I have it documented. Praise the Lord. One man was twisted like this, and his legs was twisted up under him, and his father and mother carried him into that service. And the way they carried him, they put their arms under his arms. And they, one on either side, carried him into that service. And before that service was over, that man walked by himself onto the platform, raising his hands and praising God. Hallelujah. Now, I believe in the Word. And the United Pentecostal Church International believes in the Word. We have perfected preaching. We love the Word, and we have perfected it, and we preach the Word of God. Now, it has come time for us to show the people the God of the Word. The world cannot grasp our preaching. So many times they cannot grasp us because our preaching is so perfected that it's so far beyond them and so far above them that they cannot grasp it. Amen. But they can grasp somebody getting healed. They can understand that. They can understand a miracle taking place. They can understand when an apostolic ministry is in operation. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. And God wants us. I know that there are dangers involved. I was old enough to remember the so-called latter rain that so many of us are very deeply concerned about. And there needs to be some concern. And there are dangers involved. You can't have electricity in this fine building without having some dangers involved. Isn't that right? But we can't have the air conditioning without it. We can't have the lights without it. We can't have the functioning of many appliances without it. Just the other day, while I was away, one of our brethren was out working behind our church, and suddenly he seen fire flying out of the telephone pole, out of the connections up at the top of the telephone pole. And it was part of our electrical system that involves hundreds and hundreds of whatever. Amen. Very involved. And there is dangers involved in reaching out for the demonstration of the power of God. There can be mistakes made. But I believe that we're going to rise above them. We're in a time of practicing. Practicing. Everybody say practicing. This is what we need to project to our churches. This is what I say to the church that I pastor, is that we're in a practice. And that means we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. But we're going to endeavor to do it just like the apostles did it. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. The early Pentecostals, they were not strong in intellect. They were not strong in worldly wisdom. But they were bold in their faith. And God honored that boldness. God honored that boldness. I want to talk to you a little bit about it. It is so unfair for us to expect our youth to grow up in our churches believing in healing just because we preach it and never see anybody get healed. That is not fair. That is unreasonable. It's amazing how many churches you can go into and say, how many of you have seen a miracle? And some of the folks that are 50 or 60 years old will raise their hand. And the young folks, not one single one of them will raise their hand. Of course, we understand that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is the greatest miracle that God performs today. But apart from that, so many of our young people have never seen a miracle apart from that. Amen. And God is able to do these things among us if we will make ourselves available to Him. Practice. You know, we've been in the process, and I do it. I agree with Brother Huntley. I believe in holiness. I believe in modest apparel. I believe in all of these things. I really do. And I preach them. You don't have to teach your folks that something's all right. Just don't say anything against it for 6 months and they'll be doing it. It's a tremendous challenge and a task to maintain holiness and modest apparel and so forth. It has to be preached. And I preach it. But we cannot just be constantly taking away what is wrong. We have to give our people what is right. Jehu, you know, we preach about him a lot. I've preached about him a lot. And we just honor him to the high heavens because he went through Israel and part of Judah and tearing down all of the groves and tearing down the idols and wrecking everything and killed Ahab's family. That's right. He's just wiping it out. Just absolutely wiping idolatry out. There was some fellows that was coming over to worship in Judah. And he killed 42 of them at one time. Another time, he sent out the word, we're going to have a convention for all of you folks that worship Baal. Come on over. He said, Ahab has worshipped a little, why, I'm going to worship a whole lot. And just got the whole great convention there, a whole conference. And got them in there and checked them out to be sure that there wasn't anybody in the temple that worshipped Jehovah. And then he walked out and locked the door and told his soldiers, if you let one single human being get out of there alive, I'm going to kill you. I mean, he wiped them out. Destroyed idolatry. Destroyed everything that was wrong. But he never, ever give them what was right. Never did. Search the scripture. Jehu, there was never a revival under the leadership of Jehu to Jehovah. Never once. Well, there's a man in this century did the same thing. Exactly the same thing. And we were taught to hate him. We were taught to despise him. Our government has despised him. His name was Mao Zedong of China. He went through China and destroyed temples left and right. He destroyed Buddhist worship all through China. You cannot hardly find a Buddhist temple in China today. There are none there. He went into Tibet and the Dalai Lama. The word Dalai Lama is a Tibetan word which means, I am God. God will not tolerate that. And he put God, if you please, in exile. God had to flee for his life because Mao Zedong was after him. And Mao sent his Chinese armies into Tibet and they destroyed 6,274 Buddhist temples. Took bulldozers and jackhammers and reduced them to rubble and to ashes. But never brought the truth to Tibet or China. He was equal to Jehu. And that's what we're doing many times. We are just taking away from the people what is wrong. We have got to give the people what is right. We've got to be used of God. We can't just talk about healings that happened 50 years ago. We need to talk about healings that happened 5 minutes ago. Can you say amen? I cannot just come to your churches and talk about miracles that happened in Thailand or Asia or Europe. You've got to see miracles happen in your own assembly, in your own church. Praise the Lord. And we can have it. And guess who God's going to use? He's going to use you. Every last one of you. God is going to use you. Whether you be preacher or elder or deacon or layman or whatever. God is going to use you. Praise the Lord. Scripture says, and I made this statement last night, I want to make it again. And ye shall receive power after that you're called to preach. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. Now that's the idea we promoted. Consciously and subconsciously, we have promoted this idea. But the Scripture says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, making you an apostolic believer, casting out devils, speaking with new tongues, taking up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If you're a believer, you can lay hands on the sick. I don't care what you've been taught. If you're a believer, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We need to get just a little bit reckless. So many times, skepticism and unbelief is called being cautious. And it's nothing more than saving face. Nothing more than saving face. That's all it is. Saving reputation. Protecting reputation. All I have to do to come here and for you to praise me is to dig out one of my good sermons. And by the way, I ain't going to preach any sermon while I'm here. Is that all right? I'm going to talk to you. Talk to you last night. I'm going to talk to you again. All I'd have to do is dig out one of my best ones, and I've got some good ones. And preach it, and then turn around and sit down. And you'd pat me on the back and say, hey, yeah, that was good. That was great. But when I dare to step out here and say, you come here, I'm going to question you. You are your God. That's putting my reputation on the line. And we're going to boldly do this. We're going to do it, and God's going to honor our faith. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. God is going to honor our faith. And if we can just get a little bit reckless. Amen. Knowing the Word. We know the Word. We know the Word. I've been teaching our folks in Charleston, the church I pastor. I want you to boldly pray for each other. If you meet each other in the supermarket and someone says they're sick, lay your hands on them right in the supermarket and pray for them. Right there. Command that sickness to go. As long as you pay your bill when you go by the cash register, you know you can do about anything you want. Everybody else does, isn't that right? Praise God. Just lay your hands on them and believe God. Whatever's in the book, believe it. Practice it. Practice it. Amen. We have a brother in our church, very, very splendid brother. He is a wonderful, wonderful Christian, genuinely loves the Lord, zealous for God, and he is a profession. His profession is he's a funeral director and an embalmer, best in Charleston. And I call on him a great deal to help me. I told our congregation one night, I said, if I can't get you straightened out, when he straightens you out, you'll stay straight. Praise God. But I can call him in the middle of the night, and he's adapted to that. He wakes up quick, and he's alert. And I got a call from a pastor from more than 100 miles from Charleston, who lived way over in the very steep, rugged Appalachian Mountains where we are. And he said, there's a young woman that was once a member of our church, backslider, came to church this past Sunday morning. This was on a Monday night, Tuesday morning. And he said, Sunday morning she came to church, but she didn't seek the Lord. And then late tonight, she has had a terrible automobile accident. And they believe that she is dying. And they have airlifted her by helicopter to Charleston, to the hospital there. Would you please, Brother Cole, go and pray for her and with that family there in the General Hospital downtown Charleston. So I knew Brother Hall was a half hour closer to the hospital than I was. So I called him. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, if I remember correctly. I said, Brother Hall, go quickly to the hospital and pray with this family and for this girl. She's dying. She's been in a terrible automobile accident. Well, obviously, the phone call came to us entirely too late, because within 20 minutes, Brother Hall was at the hospital and the family had already left. The girl had died and her body was in the morgue. And he used his credentials. He said, I want to see her. I want to see her. And she said, you cannot go in there. And he said, oh, yes, I can. And he pulled his credentials. And they opened the door for him to go into the morgue. And he pulled the slab out and prayed for her. Now, you're breathlessly waiting for me to tell you that she got up. She did not. And the word got out that he had done that. That he had went into the morgue and prayed for someone. And some were chattering just a little bit in the background. You know what I did? I called him to the pulpit. I said, I want to appreciate this good man of God in front of this whole congregation. Because of his faith, he went into the morgue and pulled that slab out. It was obviously not the will of God to raise that backslidden girl from the dead, because she did not raise from the dead. But he said he had the faith to do it. And one of these days, he's going to do it, and they're going to get up. God's going to raise them from the dead. Praise the Lord. Now, I went on to say, you know, you have to know the Scripture. You have to know the Scripture. Faith is based on the Word of God. The Word of God tells you what God will do in a given circumstance. And if you go into a funeral home where someone has already been embalmed and every drop of their body, blood has been pulled out of their body and their body has been filled with formaldehyde from head to toe, and then you pray a prayer of resurrection, you are insane. There is absolutely no scripture for that whatsoever. Every single person that was resurrected by a healing power in the early church was done before the embalming took place. You have to know the scripture. But the point I want to make is, I honored that layman. He's a junior elder. I honored him in front of the whole congregation for his faith. And I said, I don't want to hear any more criticism out here. Now, this is the major problem that we have. We are terrified at what our brother is going to say when we try something and it doesn't work. Hey, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. And if I fall flat on my face, I'm going to get up and try it again the next time. Praise the Lord. We have absolutely intimidated each other until we are terrified. I wonder if I ask you to raise your hands and you were totally honest with me when I told you there's a move of the Holy Ghost here a while ago. And the thing that you're quickened in your mind to do right now God's not going to write on the walls. How is God going to talk to you? We talk about the voice of God. You know what the voice of God is? It's an impression on your mind. And somehow you've been able to distinguish that as being from God. See? That's the voice of God. When I say the voice of God, that's what I mean. When I feel an impression upon my mind to do something, and I recognize that God caused me to put that impression there. Amen. The way the Lord speaks to me is a very, very tiny, little, gentle voice touch in my mind, and I react boldly to that. I wonder if you were honest with me when I said, you, whatever you're thinking right now, it's of the Holy Ghost. Do it. I wonder how many people was thinking to do something that did not do it. Oh, I venture to say there was 150 or 200 of you. And the reason is because we have intimidated each other. We are terrified to take a step and to do something because we're afraid of the criticism that we're going to get. And in times past, believe me, we have laid it on and laid it on hard. Somebody can do something 99 times right and make one single mistake, and in times past, we have shredded them like cabbage making flaw. We have torn them apart limb by limb and leg by leg. Tore them apart and threw them in a heap of ground up hamburger. And we're never going to have the operations of the gifts until we stop that. That's when we're going to have them. When we stop intimidating each other. When we stop tearing each other apart for every mistake that we make. Praise the Lord. And we of course, faith is involved as well. In the book of Luke, I read for you in the 4th chapter, a scripture that we're all familiar with. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When Jesus read that in the hearing of those people in Nazareth, it was not hard for them to believe that that was Scripture. It was not hard for them to believe that that was a God-given prophecy by Isaiah. The thing that was difficult was that this day, Jesus said in verse 21, and He began to say unto them, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. That was the hard part. It's easy for us to believe it happened 2,000 years ago. It's easy for us to believe it's going to happen out in front of us. But what about today? We've got to believe God will do these things today. And everybody's not going to get healed. Everybody's not going to get healed. Jesus, in this very same chapter, was explaining to the disciples and to those that were standing by. He said in verse 25, but I tell you the truth, many widows was in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent. There were many widows, many that were affected by the famine, but there was one that got the miracle. Did they get the miracle because the prophet went to her? I say no. Just reason with me just a little bit. I say the prophet went to her because God was going to perform the miracle, and God directed the prophet to that one. The prophet was able to see the invisible. He was able to see into the invisible realm and see what God was doing. And he responded to what God was doing. Of course, we have to pray for every Tom, Dick, and Harry that ask us to pray. And I go into meetings, and sometimes I get so frustrated because I want to be led of the Holy Ghost, and somebody is pulling on my coat. Come over here, Brother Cole. Come over here, Brother Cole. Do this, do that, do that. And that the Holy Ghost is not in it, but just because I don't
I go over there and do it, and nothing happened. Not one single thing happened. And then the patience is gone. And then when it comes time for God to do what he wanted to do, I can't get no faith going. Because you've made me to do something, or to try to do something that God wasn't in.
If we would learn to let Holy Ghost people, men or women, be led of the Holy Ghost, you cannot imagine. I'm not going to say this. It'll be misunderstood. But we've got to learn to know the realm of the Spirit and know what God would have us to do. And when the Holy Ghost, this man that I told you about that was healed in Manila, it's all on video when he was healed and those folks that were healed, 384 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues for the first time in their life in one single service. And I preached 12 minutes. Praise God. That's right. But you see, Mom and Dad come dragging that fella up to me before God was ready. Now, many of us, because we're intimidated, we'd either ignore him. We would ignore him because, my God, I don't want to pray for someone who's all twisted up like that. Here, you know, I'd rather pray for a headache. You know? Praise God. But God wasn't ready to heal him. It wasn't because I was afraid of that man. It wasn't because I was afraid to pray for that man. It was that God wasn't doing it yet. And I cannot do it. And so here comes Mom and Dad dragging that fella right up to the platform right when I'm doing something else. Right when the Holy Ghost is directing me to do something else. I said, now you take him back there. I am going to pray for him. I will pray for him. But I'm not going to pray for him when you tell me to do it. I said it. It's on the video. I am not going to pray for him when you make me pray for him. I'm going to do what the Holy Ghost wants me to do. I'm not going to let you or anybody else in this auditorium here today tell me what to do and when to do it. I'm not going to do it. And the reason I've got two amens is because you don't like that kind of stuff. You want me to act like Dale Carnegie and heal every bone in your body while I'm doing it. And it's not going to work that way. If we're going to expect apostolic ministries, we're going to have to get used to apostolic authority. And when they tell you to shut up and don't get mad. My God, if you tell our people to shut up, they'd get so mad, half of them, and leave the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God wants to lead us. There are senses of the Spirit. The Scripture speaks of the visible and invisible. You've read it in Colossians. Let me read it for you to remind you. In Colossians chapter 1. And verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. There's a visible world and there's an invisible world. And we have got to learn to tune in to that invisible world and know what God wants to do. And if we can cooperate with God, then we will see miracles happen. Brother Sisko reminded me of something that happened in the church where he was once pastoring. I'd forgotten about it, but he reminded me about it this morning before he had to drive to Columbus, Ohio. And he said, do you remember that Holy Ghost rally that you had? I said, yes, I remember it. He said, do you remember the man that you told me not to spend any more time with? I said, yes. Since you reminded me, I I remember it. It was a man came and to tarry for the Holy Ghost. We had 19 receive the Holy Ghost that night, and there was 20 seekers. And one man did not receive it. And Brother Cisco was quite concerned for this one man. And I said, the reason he didn't receive it is because he is determined to total self-destruction. He will never receive the Holy Ghost. He will never walk with God. He will never be a saint of God. And you will spend a lot of time with that guy. And for every hours and hours that you'll spend with him, you could save 20 or 30 people. Now, we don't like that kind of stuff. We don't like it. We want to save everybody. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody's not going to get saved. And if we can learn to tune into what God is willing and able to do, we'll sure save a lot of time. Brother Cisco said to me today, he said, I didn't tell you that night. We just didn't have time. But he said, I had spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours with that guy. And said, after you was gone, I spent hours with him and he committed suicide and killed himself. Now we can tune in. The scripture says, listen, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Does it say that? Praise God. Looking unto Jesus, we can see things with our eyes, even in the Spirit, and feeling. The Scripture says, being past feeling, unable to feel. And we can get direction from the Lord. Amen. There was the Scripture, Jesus went on to say, here in the fourth chapter of Luke, that I was just looking at, Jesus went on to use another illustration. And he said that were there not many lepers in Israel in the time of Uzziah, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian. How many men were lame at the beautiful gate? The Bible says one of them got healed. How many was at the pool of Bethesda that were lame? They were all there. The place was surrounded with lame people. But the Bible talks of one that was healed. And in the Spirit, we can choose and be used of God effectively. Amen. And if we begin to do this and begin to exercise the gifts, you'd better get ready. If you say you're led of the Spirit, don't you make one single tiny little mistake, or Brother Joe down here is going to eat your lunch. He'll drag you before the district board. You know I'm telling you the truth. Now, folks, we're going to have to give tolerance for a little bit of mistake. We're going to have to give tolerance for apostolic wrecks. Amen. If you want to be used of the Lord, if you want to practice, praise God. Jesus went into Nazareth, and even Jesus himself, and he was a prophet, but he was not just a prophet. He was a preacher, but he was not just a preacher. He was Almighty God. Can you say amen? And could not do many mighty works. And if Jesus couldn't do many mighty works in a situation like that, neither could you or neither could I. Isn't that right? And the reason was is because they knew him too well. They knew him when he was a kid. They knew him when he played basketball. They knew him with all these things while he was growing up. And this is the thing what we're doing. We're intimidating each other. Now, I've talked about that long enough. I want to talk about something else. Another thing is we are equating the power of God with spirituality. Now, don't say amen till you know what I'm talking about. I don't expect you to say amen. I just expect you to listen to me. Praise the Lord. We equate someone that is powerful in the power of God, we equate that with spirituality. And we think they're some kind of super spiritual person. I went to a church the other day, and this is the truth. A pastor called me and said, please come and preach. We're having revival. We've got a bunch of folks baptized. They're not receiving the Holy Ghost. Would you please come? I said, I don't have any time. I'm obligated. I'm committed. And he said, I said, the only night I've got off is Saturday night, and it's a rest night. I meant to spend it with my wife and my nephew and have a dinner at some restaurant or something. He said, that's all I need is just one night. I said, all right, I will come. And I went there, and I preached. I preached 12 or 15 minutes. That's all. 12 or 15 minutes. You're not going to get folks through the Holy Ghost preaching to them an hour and a half. They don't know what you're talking about anyhow. Praise the Lord. I preached to them 12 or 15 minutes, gave an altar call, and God being my witness, 100 people came. We was not able to get into the church. The church only seated 300, so we moved over into their gymnasium. And he had put out 650 folding chairs in the gymnasium. And the place had about 600 people in it. And there was 100 people came to the front of the church. So we lined them up in three rows all the way across the front of that gym, and we still didn't have enough room, and we lined them down the aisle all the way, 35 people down the middle aisle. And God, being my witness, God filled 77 people with the Holy Ghost in that one single service. One single service, 77 got the Holy Ghost. Now that's great, but that does not mean that I am spiritual. That does not mean that I am spiritual. That doesn't even mean I'm ready for the coming of the Lord. Now we have confused this issue. We have confused this issue, and we're not going to let anybody practice what we've been doing here in this meeting, a laying hands on the sick, prophesying, tongues interpretation, prophecy, ministering, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. We're not going to tolerate anybody doing it unless they are absolutely, spiritually perfect. We're not going to tolerate. We're not going to have it. We're not going to let you lay your hands on me. And the most powerful church, the most powerful church in the New Testament was also the most carnal church. They were carnal. That was the Corinthian church. Let me read it for you. I knew you wouldn't like this when I started. I didn't come up here to make you like me. I come up here to preach what the Holy Ghost wants me to preach. Is that all right? You like me before I came. If I just wanted you to like me, I'd have just stayed home. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterances. And in all knowledge, that's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. The Apostle Paul put it in writing to the Corinthian church, you not only have all the gifts, you're number one in all the gifts. You excel. Absolutely no one performs the gifts better than you do. You're the best. You have developed the gifts and you have exercised the gifts and you have become very keen in the gifts of the Spirit. You come behind in no gift. You've got them all. And you perfected all of them. Now, just two chapters. The same book, the same letter, same church, same time, same apostle, same congregation. The apostle Paul writes, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." The apostle Paul said to this powerful, powerful church, "You're nothing but a bunch of babies when it comes to spirituality." Praise the Lord. To be powerful does not mean you're spiritual. To be spiritual does not mean you're powerful. Consecration does not bring the power of God. Consecration will save you. Consecration will get you to heaven. But there's people in our churches that are so consecrated, and I'm not ridiculing them. I tell you, if I got somebody that's consecrated, I want you to know I appreciate them. I appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. If they dress right, I am so thankful. Praise God. If they act right, if they talk right, I am grateful. I am thankful. I appreciate their consecration and their dedication. But you've all seen people that are totally consecrated. You have seen preachers that are totally consecrated. I mean sold out to God, even fasting and praying and getting up at 6 a.m. in the morning. God have mercy. That's not too bad in the summertime, but boy, that's rough in the wintertime. I remember the first time y'all persuaded me to do that. It was dark. It was dark, and I got up and I was trying to pray at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I was going, "Oh, God. Oh, God." And I imagine God was saying, "Oh, Billy." And I thought, well, it would help me if I get a little daylight in here. And I went over to put up the shade to see if the little daylight would come in. And I pushed up the slate. It was November after the conference. And it was dark outside. And it was dark. And I said, "Oh, God." I don't think those kind of prayers accomplish anything. That don't move God. That'll make you feel good about yourself. That'll make you feel real good about yourself. And that helps. If you feel good about yourself, you get a little more bolder. But God responds to faith. God is not going to heal the sick because you dress right or because you don't cuss and swear. God is going to heal the sick because you have faith that He's going to do it. Power is a result of faith and practice. Just as we are called to preach and we practice. Now, we heard some tremendous preaching here today. Now, I never did hear Brother Huntley when he just started, but I sure did hear Harold. And he did a little better today than he did then. Whole lot better. Because of practice, he has developed the gift of God. And so you develop the gifts of the Spirit. And when you first start using them, you're very awkward. You stumble. You fall. You make mistakes. Amen. But you keep practicing. You keep practicing. And you perfect that gift. And it's perfected through the success of that gift.
And as you exercise faith, God begins to honor your faith. These things will not happen because of your consecration. I know of pastors that are so consecrated. They live a godly life. But it wouldn't do no good for them to pray for you. You'd just be wasting their time and your time. That's the truth. They don't have any faith. I know saints like that. And then on the other hand, you have seen people that seem to be frivolous and carnal, but just seems like everything they ask for, bam, 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 there it is. And it just confuses us and gets us into such a whirl that some people are so foolish that they want to throw away holiness and modest apparel and say it's not important. That's not it at all. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. It is an act of faith. Faith in God. That God is going to do it. When I called Brother Hinn out here last night, he told us he had a crushed heel. It never occurred to me one jot or one tittle that God was not going to heal him. That's not arrogance. That's not arrogance. That's faith. And God honored that faith. And then I showed you something that really blew your mind. When the little sister came, I asked for someone that was shy, that wouldn't want me to call them out. I tricked them, you know. One little sister raised her hand. I called her out, and she prayed for a sister that had polio when she was 2 years old and has suffered all of her life. People helped her down here. People helped her down this aisle, and she shouted back down the aisle, and I never touched her. That little shy sister commanded that pain to go out of her legs and out of her back, and she was healed. Now, I knew that really bogged some of you up. Really crossed a lot of theology here last night. God responds to faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we need these things among us. We really do. I've taken too much time. God bless your hearts. Hallelujah. And we need to understand that there is a distinct difference between spirituality and power. Amen. If we can just separate that. If we can separate it. I remember one time I was in, a pastor's wife called me. It was quite a ways away. And she said, Billy, I want you to pray for my husband. I said, all right, I'll pray for your husband. You know, she didn't sound too desperate. And we talked a little while and she hung up. And in 10 minutes she called back and said, Billy, you don't understand. I mean, urgently, I really need you to pray for my husband right now. I said, all right. I just prayed for him over the telephone. And while I was praying, the Holy Ghost quickened me to give him a message for him to come to my house. And it was a long drive. It was a very long drive. I said, you tell him to come to my house. And when he does, I will have a message for him from the Lord. Now that seems so bold to you folk, doesn't it? We're going to have to do it. We're going to have to move into that realm. Can you say amen? And he got one of the deacons up. It was late at night. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, he arrived at my house. I told his wife, I said, now, I don't know what the message is, but when he gets here, I'll have it for him. And when he got there, I put my finger right on the end of his nose. And I said, you've been asking God for the power of God to help people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God is granting to you this power. You will never, ever have to ever pray again for people to get the Holy Ghost in your meetings. It'll be just as automatic as if you breathe. Folks are going to get the Holy Ghost in your meetings. What you're going to have to pray for is to save your own soul. Because there's a tendency among us to allow the fruits of our gifts to become a confirmation that we're pleasing God. And that is not true. That is not true. I don't care if I prayed 7-7 through there and then just 2 weeks later went to Stockton and in one day's service, 65 more got the Holy Ghost at Brother Haney's. That does not mean I'm pleasing God. It means that at one time in my life, I pleased God. And God anointed me with faith. The only way I can please God is by obeying this book. Can you say amen? But we have got to separate spirituality and power. Now, I'm going to say something that's really going to blow your minds, but it's a truth. I'm not going to bother to prove it. You just take it or leave it, whichever. But it's the truth whether you take it or leave it. As long as I could keep you from knowing it, I could live in adultery every single day and pray people through the Holy Ghost. Because God has anointed me to do that. God has anointed me to do that. And as long as I could keep it secret from you, I could do it. You must understand that there is a difference between spirituality and power. And I told this brother, I said, from now on, you're not going to have to pray. You know how much I prayed before I went to that meeting? Now, I'm really confessing my heart. And you can go take it and beat me to death with it if you want to. Been people beating on me a long time. And they haven't killed me yet. Praise the Lord. You can do with it anything you want to. You can whip me with it or you can learn from it, whichever you want to do. You know how much I prayed before I went into that service where 77 got the Holy Ghost? You know how much I prayed? I'll tell you exactly my whole prayer. Father, I enter into this sanctuary in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I stop. And the Holy Ghost speaks to me what He's going to do. The 77 got the Holy Ghost was no surprise to me whatsoever. The Holy Ghost told me what He was going to do in the service. That's all I prayed. You know how much I prayed before I went to Haney's meeting? Brother Haney's meeting? The same prayer. I prayed exactly the same prayer. Well, Brother Cole, do you ever pray? Oh, yeah, I pray for myself. That I can overcome the flesh. That I can overcome the temptations of flesh and behave myself. Pray for people, get the Holy Ghost, that'd be a waste of my time. That'd be an absolute waste of my time, and it would hinder my faith. Brother Cole, you're arrogant. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. However hard it is to swallow, I'm telling you the truth. These are things that God will give you. When you find that place in God, God will give it to you, and then you can exercise that gift. You don't have to pray about it. Praise the Lord. What about fasting and prayer, Brother Cole? It's important. I'll tell you what it does. It does not move God. Your fasting and your bellowing does not move God. You can do that. I'm teaching. You understand I'm teaching. I'm not ridiculing. Is that okay? I'm teaching. Now, you can do this all day long. You could do that all day long and accomplish absolutely nothing. But you can do this 3 seconds. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And move all of heaven. That's the truth, whether you believe it or not. Time to laugh, Billy Cove. Fasting makes you feel better about yourself. So you boldly ask God for something that you were too timid to before. That's how it works. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. But God is able to give us the demonstration of the power of God among us. If you just believe it, accept it, practice it, and if we'll start leaving each other alone. We need to start protecting each other. We need to start protecting each other. Amen? When you leave this service, if I've made a mistake today, and somebody gets out here yakking about it, tell them to leave him alone. Tell him to leave him alone. He's practicing. At least he got up there and tried. It's a lot easier to criticize somebody than it is to come up with a better idea. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord wants to demonstrate himself among us. And if we can make these two things, if we can quit criticizing each other. And it's very important. This is extremely important. I've got to take time to do this. I'm trying to cut a lot of this out because I don't want to infringe upon your time. But this is very important. When you are practicing the gifts of God, now you've got to be bold. You cannot inspire faith by acting like someone has said here today, a wimp, you know. They've used the word wimp, you know. You cannot inspire faith by acting in a lot of foolish, false humility. You know what pride is? Pride is when the Holy Ghost tells you to boldly do something and you protect your reputation and don't do it. That is pride. You know what humility is? When the Holy Ghost tells you to do something and you boldly do it, knowing that your reputation may be destroyed. But you're just being obedient to God. That is humility. And when you do things and you inspire faith, you have to be very positive. When I started the service in Manila that afternoon, the first thing I said to them was, "Did you folks notice that it started raining this morning?" And they all agreed that they noticed it started raining. I said, "You know why it stopped?" They wanted to know why it stopped. I said, "Because I told it to." And I said, "Furthermore, I told it to start raining again after I had preached 10 minutes. And it's already 8 minutes. That is not arrogance. My whole reputation was on the line in just 2 minutes. Praise the Lord, it started raining. I mean, it was such a deluge that there was a foot and a half of water in the streets when we went out. And they believed me. Whatever I told them to do, they did it. That is not arrogance. That is faith. Now you see, you boldly do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do, but in your mind, that's where it counts. In your mind, you know that you're absolutely nothing unless God helps you. Unless indeed God told you to do that. Now, we see through a glass darkly, and there's times you're going to make a mistake. That's when the test will come. Don't come up swinging both fists. Just say, "Hey, I made a mistake. I'm sorry." Give me another chance. Is that all right? Give me another chance. I made another mistake. I made a mistake. Just give me another chance, please. Praise the Lord. Is that all right? Hallelujah. We ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but we have to boldly do what God tells us to do. And as we exercise the gifts, you know, we're pretty keen on this tongues and interpretation. Hey, there's more of them than that. And you'll be surprised how many times tongues is not for the church. What should we do in that case? You know, if somebody's preaching, somebody like Brother Huntley gets up here, or Brother Harold Hoffman gets up here, I want you to know their preaching will inspire you. And sometimes people are triggered by the inspiration of that message. And because we're so afraid of what to do, if someone speaks with tongues and it's not a message, we'll make up something. You know it's the truth. We'll make something up. It wasn't no more God than nothing. The thing to do is to recognize the preciousness of that person and say, this precious young person or this precious young man or this precious brother was inspired by the preaching of the Word. And in the Holy Ghost, he is responding to the Word. This was not a message to the church. This was an inspiration. This was a response of His Spirit to this preaching. Let's all respond. And it's fixed. You don't rush over there and kill that guy and throw him out on the sidewalk. Let him try again the next time. And as he practices, he will learn the proper signal if we don't kill him. But we do need to correct him. I have 13 elders that feel they're called to preach in the church that I pastor. And I let every one of them preach. I do. And I never, even if I'm home on Thursday, we have midweek service on Thursday. If I'm home, I don't preach on Thursday. A couple of the elders will preach. But none of the elders preach unless they will let me critique their message after they get through. They come into my study and I tell them what they did right. I tell them what they done wrong. And if they won't let me do that, they're not going to get in my pulpit. And we can do the same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. People need to be loved. We can't out-whip people all the time. Can you say amen? We've got to love them. But they do need corrected. Don't just let things go. They'll wreck the church. And instead of letting the church wreck, being wrecked, what we do is stop the gifts of the Spirit. I had a sister I pastored one time that she was greatly used of God. She was a real intercessor. And she had a spirit of the word of knowledge. It was amazing what God would reveal to her, but she didn't have an ounce of wisdom. She didn't have any wisdom. And God would reveal things to her, and she'd call up the saints and tell them what God had revealed to her. And then I'd get a phone call, and they'd just be screaming at the top of their lungs, "My God, Sister so-and-so has called me, and such and such and such and such." I finally persuaded that woman. I didn't stop her. But I finally persuaded her, when God reveals something to you, tell me. And then if I feel that saint of God needs that information, I will tell them. Well, she became a tremendous blessing to that congregation, where she would have destroyed that congregation. People don't need stopped. They need corrected. They need corrected. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is this all right? Praise God. There are a lot of the gifts of the Spirit. And since we're talking about it, let me just make mention of them. There's the word of wisdom. That is direction. The word of wisdom has been in operation here in this meeting. Somebody has spoke a word of wisdom to somebody several times in this conference and give you direction of the Spirit of the Lord. The word of wisdom is direction. The word of knowledge is information. It's a revelation of what is existing. Discerning of spirits is to understand the spirit or motivation of a person. A person is doing something, you understand the motivation. You understand the why. Why are they doing that? That's the spirit of discernment. Discerning of spirits. The working of miracles is when we transcend the natural law. When the doctor says there is absolutely no hope, there is nothing that we can do, and you get well, that is miracles. That is a miracle. Amen. The gifts of healing, this is just my opinion. I'll pass it on to you. I believe that every time you get healed, you have received a gift of healing. That's the reason why it's the one gift that is in the plural. It says gifts of healing. And so we're healed many times. And if I've been healed twice or more, I have the gifts of healing. I have been healed more than once. The gift of faith is in all things that are impossible. The realm of helping people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the gift of faith. And it is the diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation and prophecy are utterance gifts. Tongues and interpretation and prophecy by itself is equal. But you'll be surprised how many churches will not accept prophecy, but they'll let